Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is the official radio home of the Chicago Cubs. Listen to every game here.
Back goes Bradley near the center field fence. That ball is gone. A 2-run home run for Wilson Contreras.
On Sports Radio 670, The Score. Live from the Hyundai Studios. Presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. We are WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. And Odyssey Station. The Score.
This hour is brought to you by Team Hochberg. Visit their website, 56david.com. That's 56david.com.
Mully and Hall. Live and local. Chicago sports talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
You know, first time out on the mound in the first start of the year. Looked like he just, you know, settled in a little bit. One fastball to Narvaez, you know, 1-0 count. Pretty good swing on it. But other than that first inning, the homer to Shaw, obviously, you know, sometimes finding your rhythm is important. You know, I don't know if there were nerves or, you know, the excitement of the first start. We've talked about a couple of times how the different guys have handled that. I don't know if that was an issue or not, but seemed to settle in really nicely after that first inning and only allowed one more run. It looked like he was getting his breaking stuff over. The fastball command was better. The slider looked nice and sharp after that first inning.
I thought he was in charge. Just that one inning, you know, things get a little funky. And, you know, sometimes he described for himself. I don't know. I talked to Ethan. You know, just got out of whack a little bit, probably trying to make the perfect pitch. I mean, it's just it's hard. You know, you got hitters against you. You got to give them credit, too. They did a good job of, especially after the first couple of innings when he was shutting them down. But what did he do after that? You know, he pitched so well that he did not give me a real happy look when I took him out of the game.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. You heard the voices there of David Ross talking about Edward Elzelay. And Tony La Russa talking about Lucas Giolito. A little bit different combination of quotes, but fun to look at both sides of town. And David, what a glorious day. Not only do we have a nice weather day in Chicago, we got an afternoon Cubs game. Not only do we have an afternoon Cubs game that starts at 1:20 right here on The Score. The pregame will begin earlier than that with Zach, but goodness gracious, the White Sox play getaway day in Seattle at 3:10 p.m.
Are you kidding
Come on,
me?
Man.
Oh, man.
Are you kidding?
This is a holiday.
Morning show, guys. Come
on.
Oh,
my gosh.
You'll be in bed by 7 o'clock.
Oh, we don't have to stay up late, biting the sleep. Like, oh, my God. I have to watch one more inning. I have to see if Nick Madrigal is going to catch this grounder. You never know when you're going to miss a Jose Abreu moment like last night. Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah, after all these West Coast games to open the season, we had the national championship on Monday. The next 2 days will feature early starts, 1:20 today. When do the Cubs start tomorrow? They're in Pittsburgh, I think. It's like 12:20, something like that, 12:10. And then the Sox come home, and their opener on Thursday is going to be at 3 o'clock again, right? Something along those lines. I mean, David – This is God smiling upon us. I'm talking
big
about
fan
you
of day
me.
Baseball. Yes, and that, oh, yeah. Hey, by the way, a tip of the cap to the Cubs. I think the 6:40 start last night was a nice touch as well.
I agree.
Good for them. Earlier is better. Today's an opportunity for two guys for both sides of town, Mully. I think Kyle Hendricks for the Cubs, Dallas Keuchel for the White Sox. Opportunity for them to be sharper in their second starts than they were in their first. We'd like to see, you know, that the thing that you come to expect from both guys is what? Consistency. They didn't have it in the first game. I think that Hendricks more disappointing than Keuchel, certainly, but Keuchel only lasted 4+ innings. Matt Foster was brought in to replace him. You want to see both guys go a little deeper because I think that's also related to these bullpen issues we're talking about, especially with the White Sox. Once these pitchers start to go deeper into games, some of those roles will start to evolve and develop and maybe remove some of the doubts that we've seen in the first week of the season.
Absolutely. I have predicted great things for Kyle Hendricks. So I really want to see him being the professor and mastering his art and getting a grip on that baseball and not having to deal with the cold weather as he did in the opener. And this should be a significantly different performance from him. And look, it's warming up. Let's hope the bats warm up a little bit. Come on, guys. It's time to start hitting. I am predicting a Jock Peterson home run today. I'm going out on a limb. And
right.
I am predicting that guy in particular wakes up. He had a day off. He can't be happy about that. And now, boom, goes the dynamite.
Well, you figure he will be in the lineup. They wouldn't give him a day off, even though it's a proverbial day game after night game. Brandon Woodruff on the mound for the Brewers. So you figure with the right-hander, you'll see Jock Peterson from the left side. The Cubs will probably have that left-handed lineup back with Happ in center, Hayward back in the lineup. So it may be Sogard plays for Bodie. Bodie, by the way, a day after having a shaky defensive outing, went out and had probably three really strong plays defensively. So that was a good night for Bodie. But I like your optimism with Jock Peterson. I think the Cubs have to come out and be aggressive and get more than one hit, which goes without saying. But, you know, they've got to respond. This offense is hard to watch when it is as bad as it was last night.
And they got to respond because they got to win series. And that's all it's about. You know, all you got to do, just win every series. And at the end of the year, you're going to be really pleased with the outcome. And here they are. This is the rubber match. Go ahead and get this done today. It's beautiful weather. It's a perfect day for a Cubs game. And you got to be on board with that idea of getting the bats all hotted up. And again, I just love the following of the Cub game with the Sox game, just that smooth transition. Let's try to get a couple of 2-hour games going here too while we're at it. That way we don't have to worry about kind of going back and forth at all and using the old DVR to make sure that we see every pitch. Should be a lot of fun today for the Sox. You mentioned Keuchel. He's got to be better than he was, and he's one of the guys that you're leaning on this year. So let's get that guy a bunch of runs, too. It's fun to see the Sox when they're hitting.
Very curious to see what the Sox lineup looks like as well, because Zach Collins, you know, they're facing a right-hander. They're not going to pick into another left-hander. They're chasing history, by the way. The next time they beat a left-handed starter, it will tie a major league record, which is really something because the last time they lost to a left-handed starter was September of 2019, Molly, just because of the schedule quirks. And last year they did it 14 times. This year they're on a roll. But today they're going to face Justin Dunn. And I wonder if Zach Collins, is he back in the lineup? Is he your DH? Or are you going to go with a lefty lineup? I would imagine that would be what Tony La Russa will do. Are you going to move Yoan Moncada out of the cleanup spot, as Frank Thomas suggested? I think that's a good idea. He struck out 11 times in his first 22 at-bats. You got to do something to shake things up. Who's going to lead off? Who do you like leading off there against the right-hander? Do you like Adam Eaton in the leadoff spot with Tim Anderson gone?
I guess. I mean, I don't have a problem with it. I guess. I mean, listen, I think it's hard to get your lineup set because you got so many guys that are not going to be available to you. So I think that, you know, ideally, you'd have Tim back, but he's not going to be back. I don't know when he's going to be back. I hope he's back for opening day, but we don't know the severity of that injury. They did take an MRI of his hamstring, and they haven't announced anything yet, so maybe we get more information today. But we knew he wasn't going to be available in this series, so it makes sense that Eaton would then be the leadoff guy. I got no problem with that.
I know I sound like probably Captain Bubble Wrap, and I'm saying that you know when I'm talking earlier about telling Giolito to stay away from covering home and all these things, but I hope that the fact that the White Sox are, you know, having opening day at home tomorrow, and the pomp and the circumstance and the ceremony and all these things that go with the opening day at home in your ballpark, has no factor or influence on whether or not to bring Tim Anderson back maybe a little bit earlier than you might be.
Sure.
Because it's a moment, but there are bigger moments ahead, and you want to err on the side of caution with a hamstring, especially with a player as explosive as he can be. So I hope that doesn't play a role, even though that's always mentioned, right? Because they want to get him back for the home opener. Got to get him back for the home opener. Don't let the home opener or the schedule dictate the course of a recovery, because then you're asking for trouble.
Yeah, I don't think they will. I really don't. I think they'll be smart about it because they understand the value of the player. But I'm just saying I hope he's back because he's ready to come back. I'm not saying rush him back. But you know how crazy hamstrings are, and it is a it's a concern. You know, drink a lot of water. I mean, come on, eat a banana. Do whatever you have to do to make sure that you're not dehydrated and adding to the issue. I stretch again, keep stretching. But I think when we talked to Ozzy, there were a couple of interesting points there that I want to touch on. Number one was his final answer. I think Ozzy has a legacy. He's aware of it, and it means something to him. But we'll get to that. The thing that he said that I thought was interesting is about, because we had talked about why Yaz did not catch and why it was Collins, and he said basically that Giolito gets to pick his catcher, that he's earned that right, and that he went with Collins. Do you think that that's accurate? Do you think not that Giolito doesn't like Yaz, but that's not the guy that he pitched to a year ago or the past couple of years? It's been James McCann that really kind of aided his breakthrough, and I can't help but wonder if, you know, why he made that decision, if he was allowed to make that decision. Do you believe he was allowed to make that decision? And is it a curious one to you?
It's a very curious thing to say. I'm not doubting necessarily, as much as it may sound like I'm doubting it. I think that Yasmani Grandal's playing schedule, it trumped anything that Lucas Giolito wanted behind the plate. I would have to think that Lucas Giolito, if he had to pick what catcher he wanted to start and throw to in his second start of this season, it would be the guy that's likely to catch him the majority of his starts, and that's Yasmani Grandal, one of the best framers in the league. So I think that probably it coincided with a Giolito start and a day off for Grandal. So what other choice did he have? I mean, your mean Mercedes is not going to be the guy that you throw to necessarily. He's your third catcher. Zach Collins it is. So you make the best of that, even though it might not be ideal. I don't know. I think that's probably overstating it a little bit that was his choice, because I think it's like saying, you know, what am I going to wear? Well, you know what? What makes your decision? What's clean? You know, so you look in your closet. Okay, I'm going to wear that because that's the only choice that I have. I think Zach Collins was the clean shirt on the hanger. And you know what? He tried it on for size, and that's why he threw to Zach Collins last night.
That's interesting. You know, Ozzy said, I asked him if he wanted a statue. I was half joking because we were joking about the Cubs statue earlier and who they're missing and who they aren't. But as we talk to Ozzy, it occurs to you like, wow, you know, Ozzy, you know, given all that he accomplished as a player and to be the manager of a World Series team when you hadn't seen one in whatever, most people hadn't seen one in their lifetime, he's really worthy of that sort of consideration. And to hear him talk about having his number retired and admitting that, yeah, we talked about that around the house. I think that's great. I think that he should feel that way. I think Ozzy has an incredible legacy with the White Sox and deserves to have that honored.
We're lucky to talk to Ozzie Guillen every week here on the show. And it's a privilege because, and frankly, White Sox fans are fortunate to get a chance to see him as often as they do on NBC Sports Chicago. Yep. This is a living legend in White Sox history. And you know, how many other managers have won a World Series? That tells you right there why he deserves a statue, if that's the standard by which we're measuring, you know, legends in on the South Side. He also was a great player. There's no doubt that the next time they retire a number, it should be number 13. And if they want to give him a statue as well, he is more than deserving. Not only is his style and personality something that everyone kind of enjoys, but he's earned it. He earned it on the field as a player and a manager, and just what he has meant to this franchise over time.
Well said. All right, we're going to bring in Drew Valentine. He is the new Loyola basketball coach. He is the man that is taking over from Porter Moser. He's a guy that they were ready to hire. First phone call made after Porter decided to go to Oklahoma was to Drew Valentine because there's a belief in him, and he is the youngest head coach in Division I basketball, and we'll get an opportunity to talk to him next. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
The fact that we're introducing Drew as our head coach at the age of 29 shouldn't really come as a surprise to anyone. I think it was his dad who said earlier, the guy was made for this. And when you look at his upbringing, his dad was a great player and then a high school coach. I just found out he played at DeMatha, one of the greatest programs in the country, but a great basketball background. His mom was a teacher. So when you look at how he was raised, you look at his playing career, you look at what he's done as he transitioned into coaching, you realize what a wealth of experience he has. And it's experience winning. All he knows is winning and winning the right way.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We are delighted to welcome in Drew Valentine. He is the new coach at Loyola. You just heard him introduced by the director of athletics, Steve Watson, during yesterday's press conference. And we welcome him now to the Alpamonte Nissan Hotline, Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park on North Avenue, or apnissan.com. Drew, good morning. Congratulations.
Good morning, Drew.
Appreciate you guys. Appreciate you guys for having me on. Appreciate it.
Well, we're delighted to talk to you. And I got to tell you, as an alum of Loyola and a guy who played soccer there 100 years ago, I know a lot of people in the athletic department. I know your reputation among them. I know how well-liked you are and well-loved you are among the players. This may seem like it's coming early to people outside the program, but you're 29 years old and you just heard what Steve Watson had to say. You look at your background, your dad playing for him, the places you've been. Are you ready for this job? Do you feel like you're ready to take over here?
I feel like I am. And I'm really thankful to our administration for having the same, thoughts as me. Just Dr. Rooney, our president, her faith and belief in me, Tom Kelly, and Steve Watson, our director of athletics. I really feel like I've, like Steve said, been preparing for this moment, been working to get to this point my whole life. And, I really feel like, it's not just the number of years of experiences, the quality of the experiences that I've had that has prepared me to, take over this program and be ready for it.
Drew, the emotion overcame you yesterday. I thought that was a cool moment during the press conference. And it's understandable because of how young you are and how great of an opportunity this is. And I just wonder, as you reflect and continue to kind of plot the course, your coaching style, who you are as a coach, how does your upbringing and how does your experience at Michigan State with Tom Izzo and your years under Porter Moser, you've had some tremendous people to learn from and to emulate. How do all of those combine into make you the kind of coach and person that you are now as the youngest head coach in the country?
Well, I think I've taken a little bit from everybody. I think one bit of advice that all those, great coaches have given to me is you got to do it your way and you got to be yourself. And, I think I've, yesterday the emotion that I have, I'm going to be a guy that, kind of wears my emotions on my sleeve. I'm going to be high energy, very similar to how Coach Moser was from, an energetic and passion standpoint. But I think, first of all, from Coach Izzo, just the commitment to the program, he'll do anything for his players. It's a complete family atmosphere at Michigan State. You see in the former players, the Draymond Greens, the guys like my brother, the Magic Johnsons, the Steve Smiths. All those guys feel a part of the program, and they've really created an incredible family atmosphere with their culture there. And we've done that here, especially in recent years, and I want to continue to build upon that and, make our alumni feel, welcome and like they can come back and like they're a part of the program. So I'm really looking forward to kind of, using that, one of the things from Coach Izzo, one of the many things, but really starting to look to continue to build upon that at Loyola. And then Coach Moser, I think you guys know from speaking to him so many times, just how great of a person he is, right? Like, Porter Moser is the most high quality, high character, do things the right way person that I've ever been around. I really can't thank him enough for showing me how to, have a really good mix of, being a father, being a great basketball coach, being a great ambassador for, the city, being a great ambassador for the university. He really modeled, kind of that CEO, face of the program type of personality and type of role that I've, wanted to be in my whole life. So looking to take a couple of those things from the guys. I could go on and on with, basketball things and, other things that I've learned from them just on a day, what I'm going to be doing on a day-to-day basis. But those are two of the biggest things that I think, I've taken from those guys.
Drew, we know that that your brother Denzel is a Chicago Bull, and that is one of the great relationships in your life. You had a great kind of foundation with your parents. Your dad, Carlton, was your high school coach, was your skills coach. You and Denzel have this relationship where, you know, you're brothers, so you share each other's life. You also help each other basketball-wise. It's a very multidimensional type of relationship because your careers and the arc of them are relatively similar, and obviously he's still playing in the NBA, and you are now a head coach at Loyola. How will that relationship help inform you and in how you deal with your players?
Well, I think he definitely gives me the player's perspective. I have to catch myself, and I think it's great. I think it's very. I think he's on the outside as well, which also helps, you know, bring a fresh perspective. So, you know, he gives me like a fresh perspective, you know, from a, you know, outside looking in standpoint. But at the same time, he knows our players. He knows their personalities. He knows their work ethics. He knows their games because he spends so much time up, you know, with our guys, like in the summertime working out, and he cares about them. So he can kind of keep me, you know, I guess in line when it comes to, you know, if I'm being a little too harsh or, you know, not understanding the player's perspectives at all times. And then I think I also give him from, you know, what I'm saying is, or from my end, I give him like the coach's perspective. So, you know, if he's, you know, sometimes players can get emotional or, you know, and I try to, you know, keep him, you know, with positive energy and, you know, keep him in line and keep him focused on the mission. So I think we kind of balance each other out. And I think it's awesome that we can, like, we have very honest and open communication, and there's never any point where we don't understand that we've got each other's backs, first and foremost. There's love there, and anything that we're trying to tell each other is just to try to help one another out. And we've got such a understanding for that and strong foundation with our relationship that I think it's great what we're able to provide for each other in our own professional rank.
Drew, I think a lot of people have their opinions on this, but I want to hear it from you, what you think. So Loyola basketball, that Porter has made this into a job that I think a lot of people around the country would want and would look at as an opportunity to take it to the next step and even can or maintain the success that you guys have enjoyed the last several years. So what does hiring an assistant coach without any head coaching experience, even though you've been there, say about the program? And what are your plans to do in the way of, you know, maintaining that or taking it to the next level?
Right. So I think the first thing is, you know, we've built, you know, a culture that means so much more than just winning games, right? It's the way that we do it. It's the kind of people that are within our program. It's the way in which, you know, we communicate to each other within the program. It's the way in which we teach the game on the floor with the guys. It's the work ethic. It's the commitment. It's just the family that we have. And I think, you know, hiring within, you know, it keeps continuity in place, right? Like, the seniors have a chance to come back, and I'm sure that we'll get to that at some point, you know, talking about those guys. But, you know, the seniors, I've built up a pretty good relationship with them. Then you got the current guys that are on the team, right? And, you know, now that I'm going into my fifth year within the program, I've had the opportunity to, you know, recruit a decent amount of these guys. I've had a chance to meet their families and build up some trust within them. I've, you know, gotten the opportunity, you know, our whole coaching staff has had the opportunity to show them how much, you know, they mean to our program individually. And they've also seen what you can do when you completely buy in and you believe in this culture that we talk about here at Loyola. So, you know, keeping the continuity with those guys and then also with our incoming recruits.
Right.
You know, the two high school kids that we signed. And then, you know, I think we've got I don't know if I can really talk about it, you know, on here, but a couple other guys on the way as well. You know, so you kind of keep continuity. You keep, you know, that energy going. You keep that, you know, continuity and familiarity going when you hire within. And, you know, I plan to keep it going, but I'm not going to stray too far away from the course. You know, I think I was actually talking to one of our players, Marquise Kennedy, yesterday, and he was like, "What do you think you're going to do different?" And I was like, "Marquise, you know, I gave an example of, you know, the verticality rule. If somebody drives into the lane You don't want to, you know, reach your arms down and, you know, get a stupid foul, you know, because we've been one of the teams that fouls fewest in the nation under Coach Moser. And I was like, Marquise, what if I'm, you know, really trying to, like, tilt, like, because the culture term that we use when that guy person drives in to stay vertical would be, like, reach for the lights. So I was like, Marquise, what if I told you instead of reach for the lights, reach for the ceiling? I'd be like, you'd be like, Coach, like, let's just say reach for the lights. Like, that's how we speak. And so I'm like, yeah, exactly. Like, I'm not going to stray too far away from, you know, the culture and the template that was already built because, you know, I'm a Porter Moser disciple. You know, I can't run or hide from that. I embrace that. And, you know, we've had success here, and I'm just going to continue to build upon that, build upon the foundations and, you know, continue to try to just continue to elevate our talent level. You know, we've got very talented players on our team, very, you know, guys that are competitive and completely bought in, but continue to elevate the talent level as Coach Moser's been doing. And, you know, just try to do whatever we can to work and win games.
Great stuff, Drew. Great catching up with you. Really happy to hear that the recruits are still on the way and that the Ivy League guys and, you know, hopefully some of the seniors. I know you said some of the seniors. There's one guy in particular we'd all love to see back and two guys in particular. And there's no truth to the idea that Sister Jean has entered the transfer portal, right? So
she has not entered the transfer portal. She has not entered the portal. She's a Rambler for life.
So great stuff, Drew. Congrats. Thanks, we really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate you.
Best of
luck. That is Drew Valentine. That's fantastic. He's a high-energy guy. He's a high-character guy. That's a really good hire for Loyola.
He's an impressive guy. There's no doubt about that. You get that in talking to him in this interview and certainly anybody who's talked to him before.
No doubt about it. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Yes, indeed, it sets up a great sports day today. Get to watch some baseball in the afternoon, in the early evening, and maybe get caught up on sleep later, David. How's that?
Oh, yeah. Well, we don't have to stay up till midnight tonight or 11 o'clock or however late we've been. You stop looking at the clock at a certain point. You know how that works. Big day today. Yeah, Cubs and Sox both have opportunities. You got Dallas Keuchel for the Sox, Kyle Hendricks for the Cubs. You know, we just talked to Drew Valentine. What an impressive young coach. Hoping good things for him when the Ramblers, 29 years old, inherits a program that he is well familiar with, and I think it's in capable hands. Mully DePaul later today, I think, is going to introduce Tony Stubblefield. Their move, and the hope would be for DePaul fans that he has the same impact immediately with this sort of sense of enthusiasm that you hear in Drew Valentine's voice that Loyola fans have when they hear their new head coach, because both schools are getting new coaches. And it's odd, you know, both guys are assistant coaches taking over as head coaches for the first time. Drew Valentine's the youngest head coach in America, and you feel like there's that sense of stability that he brings with him because of his experience under Porter Moser. And I don't mean that facetiously or with any disrespect, but that's the way you kind of look at it, because it's like, okay, the continuation of that culture, that's a good thing for Loyola.
Well, he's also a guy that was running their defense, right? That was his responsibility. And you think about what they did and how good they were this year. That was, they were the best defense in the country. And you certainly saw how well they played defense against Illinois. And you know, it's funny, David, because I think that we even had the conversations ourselves about where the mid-majors are now in college basketball. And, I want to believe that they're making a good step forward. And I know that there are people that believe that because Gonzaga didn't beat Baylor, mid-majors aren't ever going to win. When the reality is, if you looked at the tournament overall, you saw a lot of mid-major programs knocking out some powerhouse programs, such as the Ramblers beating Georgia Tech and beating Illinois, you know, teams that won their conference tournament. Pity they didn't get past Oregon State and had a terrible shooting game at that point, but it's still kind of extraordinary how many mid-major schools were knocking off some of the big dogs in this tournament. And our takeaway may be, well, they can't win the big one because Gonzaga couldn't close out their perfect season. And then you wonder how perfect were they and who were they playing? And the same questions that always pop up when you're dealing with a team that's unbeaten until they hit the tournament.
That's an interesting point. I think I want to think about that a lot more and talk about it a little bit more as we move forward here. You know, we're going to continue to talk college basketball because of the DePaul move and what Drew Valentine is inheriting. Because I do look at it, and I think I maybe oversimplified it. I said that Porter Moser went to a Big 12 conference from Loyola because in part the money, but also because it kind of eased or simplified or cleared his path to compete for a national title. That may or may not be true. I will concede it's a debatable point because of the examples you cite, and you're looking at this through the prism of Loyola and Butler. What if Gordon Hayward's shot would have banked in, like at the end against Duke? Then this is a conversation we've been having 10 years ago. So, yeah, I think it's something to continue to look at, but I just think both college programs can look at this situation, Chicago, DePaul, and Loyola, you know, and feel a sense of excitement and newness that I think is obvious when you have new head coaches.
No doubt about it, and it's going to be a fun topic to stick with and to talk about as we see who's in and who's out and who's moving and all the rest of it. Very exciting stuff in Chicago right now with basketball, and I think a happy thing. All right, we're going to close it out. Ian Happ is joining Dan and Layla next.
No transition?
Apparently no transition today.
Oh.
Ian Happ's a bigger name, David. Don't you know that?
Yeah,
but we do want to thank everyone for all their contributions. Certainly our live stream video operator, Connor O'Donnell, and everyone for calling and texting and emailing.
Most of all, thank you for listening on this Wednesday.
And thanks to our executive producer, Dustin Rhodes.
Vonnie.
That's it, just Vonnie. And that, of course, is Ray Diaz. Thanks, Ray.
Lopey.
Come on, thank you hockey nicknames.
Thank you to Brandon Pryor for getting up with us as well.
South Slider.
Mullion Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
This segment is brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards. And by Aloha Restoration. Call Aloha for all of your water, fire, and mold needs.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh, oh.